Okay, let's try this. Today is the 3rd of February, 2011, and we're coming to you live from DuPont 215. This is actually DS-106 radio and DS-106 class. Okay, a couple of things. First thing, for those of you here, for those of you out there listening, for those of you going to listen to the recording, listen up. Your avatars. You should have an avatar, a gravatar, something. I don't want to go to your site or see you do a comment and see this little gray kind of shadow box. That tells me nothing about you. Part of this class is having distributed identity. That means part of it is you having a consistent avatar, hopefully, across the several sites you use, whether it's Flickr, Twitter, your blog, etc. So get in the habit, right? Another thing that's huge is when I go to your webpage now, I know we're 4 weeks in and I'm pretty impressed. You guys have gotten pretty much everything up and running, right? You got your blog going. You got, I've seen people that are putting in audio plugins. They're playing around with subscribe to comments. You've made it through the nightmare that is authorizing Twitter tools. You guys are no joke. You came to play. Well, given that, if I go to your blog and I go to the About page, it should probably say something like, this is who I am, right? There's nothing speaks to me like I don't care, like a blank About page, or like this is a blank About page, please delete and make something, right? Make this space your own. As part of this class, I expect it, right? Make it your own. Grandpa Cogdog, anyone read his post about blogging? If you haven't, go back to cogdogblog.com and read. It's about 4 or 5 posts because he's been on a blogging tear. If you want to see how to blog, watch the Cogdog go. Now, he actually, about 4 posts ago, he gave everybody in DS-106 some really, I think, crucial tips for blogging and blogging well. It's only week 4. You have 11 more weeks of blogging. It's integral to who you are in this class. It's integral to everything you'll do. Go and take the 10 minutes it will take to read that post and start taking some advice there. It's solid advice. Okay, we're day four, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, into photographs. And we're doing the daily shoot. We'll talk about that at some length. Before we get into what I want to talk about tonight, and what I want to talk about tonight really is born out of a conversation I had earlier with Martha Burtis. But I want to give props to the work you're all doing. I've seen you guys are even going above and beyond. Megan, you've done some visual assignments from the submit assignment. I want to talk a little bit about what this submit an assignment is, how it plays into this class. I've noticed, Andrew, today you did a DS-106 radio bumper. Now, we're in the visual design part of this class. Some of you may want to say, you know what, Jim, I'm done with your whole, like, you know, do this assignment, do that assignment. I want to create a visual aesthetic for DS-106 radio. Or I have some other thing that I want to do and design for. Come talk to me. Stop playing with that. I'm more than happy for you to pursue the things you want to do. But just let me know, and so I know what to look for and you can share it with me, right? You know, you'll notice also that we're in a very distributed space. I have a lot of things happening in a lot of different places. And if you're not on Twitter, and you're not, if you know, you don't have to be on Twitter all the time, but if you're trying to find out what's going on in this class and follow the pulse, and you're not on Twitter, you're going to have a hard time. So part of this is following that DS-106 hashtag. If you have questions, you want something for me to see immediately, you'll know at Jim Groom, I'll get back to you. And I'm pretty good about that. But you have to be there for me to respond. I can also take email, but none of you are really using email. Most of you are going through Twitter or doing it in comments. Comments are great too. I get your comments. I've also noticed, and I'm really happy, a lot of you guys are commenting a lot on the daily shoots. I love it, and I love to see you guys in there. Erin schooled me on my photos, right? She's like, well, you know, there's something off with this bull circle photo, and she was absolutely right. My bull circle photo kind of sucked. But I'm on this weird thing right now where I feel like I'm a brochure picture taker for UMW. I'm going around trying to make UMW look beautiful. I don't know what's going on. I'll get over it. Usually I'm into like horrific stuff, dead ants or whatever. Who took the ant picture? There was someone like, this is the first ant. Okay, so it's someone out there. I love the first ant picture. But it's been really cool watching you guys go on Flickr. And what's really cool too is watching you guys emerge. Now, who took a picture? Audrey, was this you with the woman in the library with her underwear?
Yeah.
OK, any of you, I don't know who the woman is, and the face is kind of blacked out, which is nice, but I got on my Flickr stream, and I'm like, what? DS-106 is going mad wire. So, yeah. So, just make sure the person who that picture is of, it's not, I mean, look, you could take
knows.
A, okay, and you could take a picture of someone in their bikini, right? I mean, it's the same difference. And you don't want to take a picture of me in my bikini. But at the same time, you know, that was a little bit, I saw that, I was like, okay, we're ramping it up to 11, no question. Now, let's talk about this for a second, because it's going to come up both with you guys, and it's going to come up outside for everybody. How many of you are tagging your photos on Flickr, DS-106, right? DS-106, and the second tag is DS-445, for example, for today, or DS-446, to recognize the day of the shoot. Are you guys all doing that? Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
See, you hear them? They're there. This isn't me just talking. All right. I love this kind of third thing in the room. This triangulation trips me out. Okay, so you're all doing that. How many of you have fewer than 5 photos? Okay, so you all, when you have that 5th photo, it should come in. For the rest of you, go on to DS-106 site and see if your picture is coming through. If it's not, email me and we'll start looking into why that's happening. I figured we'd give it a couple of days, but if it's not coming through, let me know. I'm using a plugin called Flickr Tag, and I'm wondering if the plugin just isn't doing it and whether we should actually put everything on Flickr. The other way to go at this, you know, is in your Flickr panel, you have a thing called Explore. And you could just search by tag DS-106 or that day's tag DS-445 and see all the photos. Is that clear? So you always, there's no excuse not to see them because you always have a way to get out of the data.
Can you look at just the day's tag of DS-106 photos, like combining the two?
Yeah, that's a good idea. How would you actually mash up just DS-106 and DS-444 on Flickr?
Right.
Okay, we'll see. I don't know. I tried.
I find a way.
That might be. If there's anyone who knows of a way, let me know. But let's go back and check. I don't know if Flickr lets you search by more than one day or filter by 2 days, because that would be perfect, right? Okay. I think I'm seeing most of your pictures. I've been commenting on them. If you have this kind of sneaky suspicion, and some people out there have, that I wasn't seeing your photos, it's another reason to use Flickr. And I mean, to use Twitter and to say, hey, Jim Groom, here's my photo. Get my attention that way. That way I'll pull you in and see what's going on, right? The other thing is you can subscribe to someone's photos. If you particularly like someone's photos, right? I'm still trying to figure out what Aaron did with that guy. Is he jumping on the trampoline? Is he jumping off the, I don't know what's happening there, if there's some kind of Photoshop craziness going on, but you've seen the photo, right? The guy is like suspended in midair and it's talking about levitating, right? I don't know what's going on. I'll let Aaron explain that. Yesterday was a particularly fun day for me to watch the photos come through because it was so beautiful. And like Eric had started with the one little crack in the sidewalk and then you see the little grass coming up. And then every photo after that was like, all I can take a picture of is the sun. Or I was taking a picture of people with their shirts off. Or, you know, just everybody was out there having fun. It was a good day to actually be photos. And it was interesting because the theme of the day was news, right? And there's no question, and someone had said out in the internet, hey, the only news is Egypt. And I agree, that's really the news. But here, locally, in our particular little space, it was either everybody out in the sun or someone in the library in their underwear doing studying. That was the basic two major news things. All right. So in terms of the daily shoot, how's it going? Questions? Problems? Good. Okay. Which brings me to the thing I really want to talk about today. And the thing I want to talk a little bit about today is actually an idea that comes, I think, with the practice of the daily shoot. I think the daily shoot gives us the first, it's not going to be the only, but it gives us the first real opportunity to reflect back on what it is we're doing, right? And I think the idea behind digital storytelling as we're doing it, it's not only in, you know, invoking, interacting, and really kind of relating to what this all means when it's mediated by what we call the digital. But it's also the low threshold of involvement, I think, changes the means by which we can, on a regular basis, do it, right? Create images, share them. Now, I don't know, I mean, people probably obviously have done this before the digital, But one of the things that I find really interesting right now is this idea with the daily shoot of habit. And it's something Darcy Norman talked about a lot on Tuesday, right? Darcy Norman talked about the daily shoot was something that helped him get into a habit, right? Photography was something that a habit actually kind of grew for him alongside his habit of bike riding. And I think how many of you, and this is interesting, as part of university students, have your habits been demanded to be creative habits, right? We're going to ask you on a regular basis to create something new. We're going to ask on a regular basis for you to visualize something new, for you to record something new, for you to videotape something new. I think part of the next 11 weeks of this class are going to be me demanding, to some degree, that you get in the habit of doing this regularly. A big burst of creativity at the end of the semester, like, oh, but I did all my shoots the last week, or I made this great video. That's not the interest for me of this class. This class is about small, regular bursts of creativity, kind of along the lines of the daily shoot. And I think it's really important for you to engage that, for you to recognize that that's the direction we're going with this. And that's how, in some ways, we're going to be expected for you with the daily shoot is a real good model. And then we'll move on to both audio and video. And we'll have yet another series of a little bit more space between them, because daily shoot, you can take the photo and get out. Audio, video, there's some post-production that needs to be done, and we'll talk about that. The other thing is, I want you guys all to download Audacity. About another 2 weeks, we're going to be getting into the audio. And I want you to have a head start with Audacity. Audacity is an open source audio recording, audio playback, right, application that you can all get for either the PC or for the Mac. And they may even have a Linux distro too if you have it. So be sure to download and start playing with Audacity. I'm going to put that in your assignments for next week as well, but here's the heads up. Get Audacity on your computer. A lot of times it's happened in the previous semesters, people have had problems. Because when we come into class in about 2 weeks, we'll start right on the ground creating audio mixes right in class. So be sure, have it on your computer, be ready to go. Make sense? Okay. Something else I want to talk about with this class, and I think it's pretty important, and I haven't mentioned it yet, because now we're really starting to get into the meat of the class. We've gotten through what I think might, for a lot of people, be the most difficult part, which is kind of the chaos of how do I keep up with everything and how do I mind this? And if you've made it this far, you're doing all right. Now we kind of settle in and we get into the habit of creating on a regular basis. And part of that is going to be completely determined by you. And let me show you where. Let's go to the DS106 website. And could someone get the lights for me so I could turn it down a bit? There's going to be an echo here. I probably should. Perfect. Okay. So, I want to go not only to the DS106 website, and forgive me for the echo out there, people. That's been my modus operandi all day is to been screw up DS106 radio. Notice here, right? There's actually a place that's called Submit an Assignment. And some people wrongfully, and I can understand why it's not very clear, but is this where I put my assignment? No, your assignments go on your blog and they feed in. That's not a problem, and we read them through RSS. Part of your syllabus, if you look at it in the wiki, says that over the next 11 weeks, you're going to be asked to both create and submit an assignment for any one part of the class. Right now, we're in the visual and design part. Visual started with daily shoot. So let's go down. You're going to make up an assignment, describe it, and you're going to put it in a particular category. And for example, if you wanted to do one for this week, you would go and put a visual assignment in. There's also assignments for audio, right? Andrew had done an audio assignment. Megan had already done a visual assignment. We have design assignments coming up, which are really exciting. There's some great, and we're going to be next week, Tim Owens is going to be coming to speak to us about design. And he's behind a lot of the really awesome assignments in the design section right now. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say. But I'm going to ask each of you to submit an assignment, at least four, of the next six or seven kind of parts of the class, sections of the class. Not only submit the assignment, but to do it. Make it small. Make it manageable. Don't turn it into like, create a documentary video wherein you look at three continents and how people are interacting. No, Make it easy. Take a picture, match it with a series of lyrics from your favorite song, and mash them up. That will take you about 10 minutes to do, and it could be a lot of fun. There's a lot of great examples that we're going to look at right now, but I really want you all to get in the habit of thinking about not only doing the assignments one asks you to, but dreaming up assignments that you would want to do and do them. Part of this is going to be a larger repository of assignments for everybody that we could all use. So eat your own dog food. Now, at the same time, you don't have to do every assignment you submit. It's kind of probably a good model. But if you just for a week or for a few weeks, you just want to do an assignment someone else has submitted, that's fine. Do it. But be sure to watch. And let's go there now. So let's start with the visual. Right, I'm on the visual assignments. Here they are. Great. Right. And Tim Owens, this is great. And we're going to look at someone who did this. Here's a perfect example. And this is really going to be good because we're going to be able to go to people's blogs and see how they've done it. Tim Owens came up with this assignment, four icon challenge. Reduce a movie, story, or event into its basic elements. Then take those visuals and reproduce them further, the simple icons. And I love how quick and easy his description is of this. Right? So this is actually an assignment that Tim Owens has actually submitted on his own. Or no, Tim Owens isn't, he's one of the many teachers in this class. And this submitted assignment is a way for you to throw something out and see what people do with it. To come up with an idea and share it and see who does it. And you'll notice there's particular tags you need to use. And when you use those tags for that assignment, it will show up. And you'll get to see all the people who did your assignment or who did a assignment. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, check this out. Tom Woodward did this assignment already. And let's see what he did. So we're going to go to bionicteaching.com. And if this doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. So Tom also has this thing with a stranger portrait. Have you seen this? Has anyone been following this? His daily shoot is not just a daily shoot, but it's to take a shoot of a total stranger and go up to them. Yeah, right?
I've been doing it.
You've been doing that too?
Difficult.
Is it hard?
Yeah, everyone looks so horrified of you. Like, you try and be amiable, but they just, glaze over, and I cannot get people to look like they feel at all.
And so, have they done it? Have you got anyone to do it?
I have gotten people to do it, sure, but they all look really, upset or, angry. It's really bad.
That's pretty cool, because I had my camera out while walking the Combs. I've been walking back and forth the Combs all day. And I have my camera out thinking like Tom and you now, maybe I'll do take that picture. But I kind of chicken out. Because I'm like, I don't want people to say, and then, I kind of look weird already, so I'm like, who's this pedophile on campus? Or that stuff will happen right away. So, this is whole weird, because then you feel a whole community coming in and watching you. And so the idea of breaking out of that is huge. So this is a picture of a complete stranger he took, and I love the picture. I really do love it. Not only the color in the background, but she looks strong. Look at that. Before you even read, what movie is that? Some of you might not know.
Passion of the Christ.
No, Passion of the Christ, good guess. Right, we have the cross. Right here we have, anyone know what this is?
Parking meter.
What's that?
Aviator sunglasses.
Sunglasses, nice, aviator ones. What's this?
An egg.
See, we're very good. And then?
Cross.
The cross. It's not I don't know if it's a movie you've seen. Cool Hand Luke with Paul Newman.
Is that from this decade?
What's that? No, it's not from this decade. It's from the 1960s. It's a classic film. And now, because you have no film literacy, because they teach no film classes at UMW, it's completely lost on you. So what I thought was going to be a magical moment is now... When was that film made again?
I guess what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Exactly! That's exactly what we have. Thank you, Shane. Yes?
I got the Big Lebowski before I saw it, before I read it.
So. The Lebowski?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I got that.
Lebowski, though, should be like... That should be like your... You know, the common Bible for you people right now. You should carry around that like the Old Testament. You know, I mean, there's so many quotable lines in the Big Lebowski, it's not even funny. Are we going to go down that road? I don't think we should.
Not right now.
No, not right now. Okay. So if you knew anything about film, and if you watch film regularly, and if, as a liberal arts college, we invested in you watching film and thinking about film because it was one of the, if not the most important medium of the last 100 years, if this was all the case, in a perfect world, you would understand this reference, and you would all be on the floor right now like, wow, that is beautiful. How well he constructed in 4 iconic images the story of Cool Hand Luke. This is a really cool exercise. And what's cool is that these are exercises that you can dream up and submit for anyone in DS-106 to do. And there are a lot of them now. So what I'm going to ask you, and why I took this whole kind of side roundabout way to do it, is that I want you all now to go into those assignments and not only try and submit some, but to try and do some. Try and play around with them. They're pretty quick. I don't care if they're perfect, because that's part of the habit. Part of the habit of creativity is not worrying about what you're doing is perfect. It's worrying about doing it regularly. It's like running, right? When you start to feel like I should be running right now, but I'm not, you know you're a runner. When you start to feel in this class like I should be creating something, but I'm not, you know it's finally got into your skin what you're supposed to be doing here. Right? It's like that. It's an exercise. It's a habit. And don't wait for me. People all over this class are giving you things that are fun. This is where the animated GIF came from. Right? Tom Woodward had submitted, and this is before the whole class started, we had hundreds of animated, maybe not hundreds, but almost 100 animated GIFs that people were experimenting with as a way to get their chops, as a way to practice, and as a way to think about and kind of play with the media that surround us. One of the things that kind of occurred to me as I'm thinking about this class, and I've been thinking a lot about this class and kind of mulling it, and I've never done anything like this particular instantiation. One of the things that came clear to me as I watched you all blog, and as I watched the DS-106 radio come online, and the DS-106 TV, and as you're all sharing and feeding back, and Aaron's telling me, look, that's not a good picture, you missed something there. What I'm realizing is that we're potentially putting in ourselves in a position where we're not only in a position to kind of accept culture, but like you see this again and again on DS-106 radio, people are remixing, remashing, and putting it back out there for us to reflect upon, for us to think about. I think that's key, is that part of the new web, part of what these technologies afford, part of what I think the DS-106 radio is so interesting to me, as are blogs, as is Wikipedia, and all these spaces, is that it gives us a place for intervention, right? Into that media, into that conversation. And what is that intervention based on? For me, it's upon creativity. And a think and a concept of remixing what's already been done. And that kind of brings me to a nice parallel to some of the blog conversation that actually happened between 2 blogs in this class. Jordan and David kind of discovered, unknown to them, unbeknownst to me, that they were long-lost brothers and sisters. How many classes are you going to find 2 long-lost brothers and sisters? Sounds like a movie. No, I'm kidding. But what happened was, is that they both had this particular idea for a daily shoot. The same idea, down to the same detail. Now, maybe not the same exact detail, but the same basic concept. And it started a conversation between them about this. And one of the things that struck me as I was watching this is one of the things that kind of they unpacked, and I'm fascinated entirely, is that there's nothing new under the sun, right? Shakespeare had said it. It's not about this kind of, I'm a unique butterfly creating unique art, stay away from me, here's my copyright, leave me alone. It's about rethinking the way in which the art out there can be recombined, reimagined, and represented in all kinds of new media. That's why you pull on what you've read for literature or what you're doing in science. You pull on all those disciplines and you make it fresh, you make it new. That doesn't necessarily mean it has to be original or that you can't play with what already is. And I think your conversation between Jordan and David really brought that to the forefront, right? What we're doing here. I'm not worried about what you're doing, you feel like it's unoriginal. I'm taking some of the most unoriginal photographs I've ever taken in my life right now. You could see them in a million different brochures. But you know what? I'm doing it. And I'm taking those shots, and I'm recognizing that that's not what I want to be doing right now, and I'm moving on. And tomorrow, I know I'm going to break it free. Or maybe I won't. Maybe tomorrow I'll take another stupid brochure picture, but that's all right, because there's another day. And I'm going to get myself into the habit of doing something different. So I really want you now, as we're settling in, to think about this idea of the habit of this class. I want this class not to be a burden, I want it to be a habit, right? And if it was a smoking habit, it would be great, because you guys wouldn't have a chance. Even if you wanted to quit, you couldn't. But you can quit. You have the option to quit this class, right? And that's fine. But I want you to think that this is potentially a beneficial habit to get into and to exercise. All right. So I want you to start looking at those assignments, submitting your own, and doing something. Megan, Andrew, you guys are already there. You started it. For the rest of you now, I want you to start up. Taking a photo a day is not going to kill you in terms of an assignment. You can do more. I know it, and you can, and you know it. So start. Start playing with some of those. Push yourself. Another important blog post that came as this class started, and I think it's one, if you're going back to Congo's blog anyway, you should revisit, is Alan notes this. This class has got to be about you pushing yourself, right? That's how it has to be if you want to do something interesting and if you want to create, right? Play with it. Push yourself. Don't settle on something and get comfortable with something. And I'm saying that to you after I've taken some of the most comfortable photos I've ever taken. That's all right, because they're not always going to be perfect. But doing it daily will change that. Okay, any questions about my sermon about doing it daily? Do it daily. That could be a new slogan. People can read it however they want. Do it daily, damn it. All right, so what I want to do now is I actually want to take a look at some of your photos. I want us as a class to look at some of the photos, and I also want to talk a little bit about a project that I had, it was kind of a fun project, and it kind of moves us into not only design, but somewhat of the film. One of the things I started to talk about is the visual. There's a language of the visual, right? You know, the visual has a rhetoric, and you can see the rhetoric, whether it be in a particular frame, or how it works between frames, or through a series of frames. And one of the assignments that I like to play with that kind of goes through this is actually is the assignment that has six different film shots. So let me go to that right now. Hold on one second. I'm going to actually take a look at this, and I got to find it on my blog, so give me one second. All right. All right, so I'm going to go with this, and this is, The Shining in six frames. Are any of you fans of The Shining? Okay, at least, a couple of you. Good, better than my last class was like, The Shining, what's that? And I was about to rant again about film and how much you're missing out on your education if you're not learning regularly about film in the 20th century. But that's another point. Okay, so have you seen this film, right? What do we have? What's the beginning?
Going to the right? Scary place.
And what's the great line Danny says, the little boy, when he's in the car? That's okay, Dad. I know all about cannibalism. I saw it on the television. And then Jack Nicholson says, he's saw it on the television, right? Soon after goes crazy and starts hacking up his kids. Okay, and then what? What happens?
Lloyd.
That's right. One of the great scenes in the film, at the bar. Right, when he goes and he's imagining there's a bartender and they have the liquor and he starts drinking and, you know, Wendy comes down and says, somebody's just been up in here, right? That's just amazing. He has the drink. Then what do we have? The axe, right? You know, it's a little bit elided. A lot happened between the drink and the axe. But you get the idea. And then, of course, you got to help the kids save the babies. So what is she doing? Putting Danny out the window. And what's nice is I established there was a family in the beginning. My first establishing shot in this assignment was the family. Wendy, Jack, and Danny in the car. And so then I could kind of forget both Wendy and Jack, or Wendy and Danny for a while, but then come back, you know that that's his kid. And then you have him doing this kind of weird breakdancing in the snow, right? Where he's kind of backtracking. And then? Poppy's done. Poppy's not going to get out of the snow anymore. So that's a quick way. And I want you to play with this. Shining is one of my favorite films. That's why I did this. Take one of your favorite films. In 6 frames, try and tell that film. Try and retell the story with 6 iconic images. It's kind of like the 4 iconic images you saw from The Cool Hand Luke. Right? Play with that. Screenshots from those films. Hit 6. Try and create a story or tell the story of that film in 6. Think about how particular images, right? Particular images from a film tell a story. And that's why the selection process, what 6 you'll use, is very important. It'll actually be something interesting to start to think about. Why did you pick that image? What does that image tell you? What information does it provide that allows you to narrate this in such an economical form? All right? Now, the other thing I did, and I played on this, is I tried to tell, with 6 different images, tell a completely different story. So I have the all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, and then Jack at the bar, and then Jack here, and then the kid, right? And then that creepy scene with this, I don't know what it is, like a dog or some sort of thing is on him, and we don't know if there's fellatio going on or whatever, but there's like some weird thing happening. And then it ends. So that's like the alternative version in 6 shots. You like that?
What happened to the twins?
The twins. Yeah, the twins didn't make my cut. And they should. Because you know what? You want to see something crazy? And this actually came out of last class, too. Watch this. So let's go to this, and we're going to look for the twins. Hold on. Yeah. We're going to go to The Shining. Because I was at a pizzeria how long ago was it? Shining Commentary. And where is it? Okay, hold on. I can think it was sometime in, just give me 1 second, I'll find it right now. This is crazy, and some of you, because you might come from, how many of you from Northern Virginia? Okay, this happened at a pizzeria in Northern Virginia, and it was one of the craziest things that has ever happened to me. Well, maybe that's a little bit of overstatement, but it was wild. Let me just see. Yes, 106. Finished up this Christmas card. Hold on 1 second. I'm almost there. Okay, what happened was, fixing. Okay, let me just see it. It probably is November then. It's kind of rough when you can't find stuff on your own blog because you blog so much. But, hold on. Danny, that's it. That will find it. Okay, so come play with us, Danny. This is it. This is perfect, right? So me and my son and my daughter, right, we were at this pizzeria in, you know, it's by Franconia Springfield, right? It's called Z Pizza. So we're hanging out, and watch this. There's my son running around. He's running through, and then he turns the corner. And that's on the wall of the pizzeria. It's his two twins. It was Halloween. And my son and my daughter comes in and breaks it all up because she's a psycho. But they come in and my wife went to the bathroom with the kids and she comes back. She's like, go to the bathroom. I'm like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. She's like, go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom and I turn the corner and those freaking twins are staring at me. And I lost it. And so I had luckily I had a little video camera, and so I had my kids, like, I was in the pizzeria, people were trying to eat and everything, and I was like, move out of the way, and filming my kids running back there, like Stanley Kubrick, trying to reproduce the effect. Because if you remember from Shining, what was happening is Danny was driving around on his little big wheel, and then he turns the corner and those kids show up. So I tried to reproduce that by turning the corner, and hopefully that showed up. Oh, that's awesome.
It's so disturbing how much your son looks like the kid in the movie.
Yeah. I know. And someone commented on my blog, like, isn't that, like, bad parenting?
Yeah.
Like, you know, to have your kid, like, and then put a video on. I said, probably. But
you didn't show his face.
I didn't show my kids. Oh, but I started the whole blogging thing. My kids, that's how it started. Because my wife's parents were in Italy, and we started communicating with them through pictures and images and video on the blog. My first mashup I ever made was, you ever see the thing Duck and Cover? We'll talk about this when we get into video. There's a site online that's called the Archive, the Internet Archive. It's one of the great kind of video resources online. And we'll deal with it when we get to video extensively. And there's also a lot of audio, a lot of great stuff on that. It's a great site. Anyway, I discovered this site in about 2004, 2005, when my first son was born. And if you go there, you'll realize that they had this video, this old school video called Duck and Cover. Has anyone ever seen Duck and Cover? Okay, what is Duck and Cover? Patrick.
Basically, it was like made back in the 50s, what to do in case of a nuclear attack.
Yes, it was what to do in case of a nuclear attack, and what were their advice if you're in a nuclear attack?
Get under the desk and cover yourself up.
Exactly. Get under the desk. That's our best advice. When the nuclear bomb falls, if you're not under the desk, you're toast. Otherwise, and it's funny, when you look at the video, there's like a kid on a bike. It's like Duck and Cover, and he gets off the bike and he gets under leaves. Yeah, that's right, the leaves. Under the leaves, that's really going to protect you. It's comical, the video, because it's so absurd when we look at it through contemporary eyes. Although, you know, it's funny that people, when they saw it, thought it was a real good option. Well, anyway, I took that video. And there are particular signs when they say duck and cover and they show the atomic blast. It's extremely macabre. They show the atomic blast as a kind of flash of light. And then all the kids jump and they go into the desk and they're in a school room like you right now and they go under their desks. And then a flash of light. And I was thinking, I just had got a new Mac and I had iMovie. I was like, I can reproduce that flash of light. So what I did is I had my son in different places around the house and I would flash the light and I would wait till he falls. So he would like get caught up in there, and I'd do it in black and white, and I'd flash a light, he would fall over, and then I would cut to the duck and cover. So every time he fell, flash of light, and then I would have the duck and cover thing. Now, he didn't fall too hard, so it wasn't really like, you know, problematic for him, but it was really interesting to kind of think, for the first time of my own experience, I can grab a piece of culture from the 50s and cut it up with my son's birth, which is a monumental event for me. And actually start creating things. Now for me, it was kind of, when I realized it, I was like, you know, this is a completely different world. And from then, I haven't stopped going crazy with it. I mean, I don't know how we got from The Shining to Duck and Cover, other than the fact that you'll start to see your culture is all around you. Here's a particular example. Whether you're thinking about your favorite movie and doing it in 6 frames, or whether you're in a pizzeria in Northern Virginia and all of a sudden the twins, as you noted, come out of nowhere, right? Or if it's kind of mashing up something about your kids or your family, right? There's something to the idea of us now having some control and some voice within the conversation around media. Part of the visual is this. You're doing that right now on a daily basis. You're getting into the habit. I want you to push a little bit with the visual assignments that are out there. But also, try that 6 frames story. I think that's a fun story. I think it's a fun assignment. It's always good to come back and look at what people have created, right? Now, I want to go to Flickr, and for a little bit now, I want to actually look at some of the work that has been created, some of the photos. I want you now to be in the position of looking at them and saying which ones you like, which ones you don't, and why. Now, this is my photo stream. Let me show you. Here we are in Flickr, right? It'd be good to go over it while we're all here. So I'm in my Flickr account. Everything's up, right? I can start to see, right, Colleen. It's always nice to see people comment. How many of you don't like people commenting on your work? Say yes. How many people of you like it? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. How many of you hate it when someone comments on your work? Say yes. Right? Everybody likes to get comments. Everybody likes to get feedback. I think one of the things we got to balance here is you can't comment on everything, but you should start to be organizing around certain people whose work you like. But also, every day, try and strike out on comment on someone's work you haven't commented on before. Don't get stuck in a rut of commenting on the same people all the time. You guys have been awesome at commenting. You take me seriously, and I love that. It's a huge part of this class. You've been great about it. What I've also started to see, and this is remarkable to me, and I'll comment on it before we look at the photos, is I talked with an online student who's a UMW student who's taking this online. And she says she's getting into these collectives with Avanya, with Megan, here in this class, and with other folks, and they're working through these issues and the work they're doing together, even though they're not ever in this class. And I want to really recognize how cool that is, that you're doing that, that you're actually working together on assignments and figuring out how to do things apart from the structure of this class. I think it's important, and I think there's some online students out there who might appreciate that kind of contact. So, you know, you see folks and you know they're not a part of this class, go out there. See how they're doing. Comment on their work. Give them some feedback. It's what the discussion element of this class really is. It happens there. Comments are the sinews that bring this class together and that make it work. It's my plug for comments. You'll always hear it. Every class, I will plug them. Okay, so since Colleen commented on my work, well, she could, not only no, she didn't. She added me as a contact. Thank you. I'm going to contact you right back. That's probably a good idea to add me as a contact. Why? Well, because when I go and see what pictures my recent contacts have put up, and I'll go to my contacts, I got to see people's photos. So, for example, I have Colleen right here, right? Who's taken a picture of the sky, the blue dusky sky. Did this one win for you? Up one right here. Gotcha. Okay. Nice. Okay. So here's Colleen's photo, and it's interesting. I'll speak to it and I'll let you guys talk to it. I actually went, my photo, as you saw, was of the bridge. Not very original. Martha Burtis, when I showed her it, she's like, oh, that's pretty original. There's only been like 5,000 photos of the bridge since it was put up. I got pissed when she said that. But anyway, I got over it. But look at this. This is what I was trying to get, this capturing of downtown Fredericksburg. What you've captured and what I was trying to capture, but it was getting depressing, is capture something I see regularly in terms of the horizon and what's underneath it. And that bridge and that church steeple and all that, I see that regularly. The other thing I tried to capture, and it was depressing, so I didn't go this route, is the strip malls and the actual, because I hate the way Fredericksburg's developed. And the strip malls with all the wires, right, like the telephone wires. And I caught some really depressing photos of how ugly that development is. But then I didn't want to push it. I went for the brochure. But it reminded me of a any of you know Crumb, Robert Crumb?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Robert Crumb is a cartoonist. He has a great cartoonist talked about the history of America. And the history of America is all, it reminds me of this Daily Shoot because it's all about how beautiful and pristine everything was. And you see the sky and everything. And then he shows the development. And what it ends with is the kind of phone wires, the strip malls, and just how much we've gutted any kind of natural beauty. Now, that's not entirely true, but you look around, it's not too far from the truth. All right, so what do you guys think of this? Is this a familiar scene for you? In terms of the sky? How did you find today's picture?
Yeah,
You're on today's shoot. Was it easy?
Yes.
It was easy? I found it really hard.
I thought it was hard.
I didn't find it easy at all. Who said it was hard? Yeah, I did. Because I went out there and the sky was not attractive and I didn't have any nice glow. A couple of folks had a nice glow on their picture. Let's go and see some of those. Let's see some of the people who did it. I actually want to look at some of the people who did a good sky because I found it really hard to do a good sky. So let's look at AJ's. AJ, oh, this is awesome. AJ works in Tennessee at a community college. Me and her have been working together on WordPress for a while. She's great. And I believe this is her photo of the security camera. I love when the photos get like this. And this is why I love having a lot of people do it together. I mean, what do you think about this photo? Anyone? What do you think about it? Yeah, Nora.
It's very blue.
It's very blue, right?
And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but the building looks kind of blue.
It almost
fades in. The sky almost fades into the building and vice versa.
It's almost like they're blurred into each other. I agree. What else? Yeah.
It seems very cold emotionally.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes well with the theme of the security camera.
Yeah, and I think that's right. Not only cold emotionally, but let's think about the theme of the security camera. John.
Well, I just like the clouds, how they're kind of, they're not really, I wouldn't say they're very profound in it, but they're still there. So the sky's empty.
Yeah. There is a kind of uniformity to everything, right? This monochrome. And yet, to me, the security camera sits there, right? Like a 100-pound or 4,000-pound elephant, right? Because it says something to me about our culture right now. Right? I mean, this isn't just speaking about a particular shot. It's a very well-framed shot about the culture of surveillance in which we live, right? I like that. I like the fact that you can almost say the fact that it is indistinguishable, as both Aaron and John and Nora say, and it's kind of monochrome, almost makes it like we're not even able to see the actual camera. We can't even distinguish it anymore. It's all as if it were one. Now, how cool is it that we can look at a picture and start thinking about things as you guys see the world? Now, I don't know from intentionality. I can't say this is exactly what AJ wanted, although there's got to be some frame for it given what she did and how she framed it. But this is actually one of the things about telling stories with images. You don't need six images to tell a story. You don't need six images to make a statement or to abstract out a concept. It just takes one good one. I really like the way this image is working. And I actually, now that you guys bring it up, I really like the way it works on a monochrome level. Okay, Megan. All right. In my UMW kind of state of mind that I'm in right now, this is the image on Flickr of the clock in the sky. And I walk up by the Woodward Center 2 and tried to take this. I couldn't get it right. What do you think about this one?
Yeah.
You. I like how this almost matches your corner, right here, this spot. I like how it's just almost there, right? And what was hard for me, and it's kind of indicative in this class, in this picture, is it was hard for me to feel like I was getting the sky, right? I just felt like I couldn't get the sky right. As much as I tried, I couldn't capture it. And I was really getting frustrated with today's daily shoot because I couldn't get it right. Anyone else? Go. I don't know. Let's see. So let's go to DS-106 now. I'm going to go to explore and I'm going to go to tags because that was on contacts. So now let me explore popular tags, and what we're going to do is we're going to jump to DS-106. And let's see what people have been doing. Okay, good. Right. This is interesting because this is a picture by someone who's in Melbourne, Australia. His name is Rowan, and I happened to have a conversation with Rowan on the radio by happenstance. Me and Brian Lamb, who was in Vancouver, were doing an early morning radio show, and Rowan jumped on. Now, what Rowan has been doing, if you've been listening to DS-106 radio, Rowan has actually been taking field reports of sounds and experiences he's having from his cell or his mobile or his smartphone in Melbourne and putting them up on DS106 radio. And so what happens is sometimes on the radio you'll hear this sound of the cicada because it's deep summer there, and you'll hear it. Like, where is that coming from? And he'll be like, ah, this is Rowan Peter from Melbourne, Australia, doing a field report for DS106 radio. I do a very bad Australian accent. But you get the idea. And he puts it up there, and it comes in. So if you see what he's doing, he's now matching his daily shoots with his field recordings. I love that. You just see how that's emerging right here? It's emerging through someone's action around ideas. And he's actually, not only do we have the sound now of Rowan's daily shoots, but now we have an image as well. And wait, what happens till we get to video, right? We're going to actually be able to see on the ground, man or woman in the street, videos from all over the world of what it's like to be in a particular place at a particular time. This is unique in some way, I would imagine. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I had no idea who Rowan Peter was 4 weeks ago. And now I feel like this guy is opening up his world to me. That's not something I can teach you. I don't know how to teach that. All right. So here's another one.
That's cool.
That's a wild picture, right? This is by Jose Carlos, who I believe is in Portugal. And I love his pictures because every time he takes a picture, it's like, you know, there's tropical trees or there's some crazy snow like we're seeing now. Right? He's the one who took the palm trees the other day. And, you know, I understand there's the art of the photography, and I don't want to pretend, and I don't pretend to be a photographer. So I can't speak necessarily to the art, but nor should that stop you. But I do love seeing shots that I know couldn't have come from U25 folks in this classroom. They just, unless you went to Portugal overnight or to Melbourne, right? Chances are that photo, or if you're cheating with your daily shoots and bringing from older photos.
Come on.
That's right, don't do that. Excuse me. No one should do that.
Why?
Because your daily shoot is to take it today. I'm assuming you took a picture of that woman in her underwear yesterday.
I did.
Good. Okay. I don't know why I keep coming back to that. Maybe because I'm ready for someone to say, do you know that students are taking pictures of people in your underwear? But that's like the least thing that would be a problem with DS106. There's so many deeper problems. Okay, Stephanie. Nice. Being the trick, I'm on a particular trip right now with UMW's architecture, so I don't know if I'm particularly, I don't know how I'd say. I like the way you capture the sky, but also how this rounds out the picture at the bottom, right? Anyone else? Okay. This is kind of pleasant to look at, right? Now I'm kind of digging on, for some reason, just kind of keeping my photos all local and looking at the architecture right now around. Because there's some unique architecture, some beautiful things. But I wish I would have, gotten that photo. So when I love to see the photos, I'm like, man, I wish I would have thought about that. Okay. Jamabe, is that right? Yes. All right, look. I think me and you were right around the same place taking the same photos. Is that on the bridge?
No.
Where is that?
On Eagle Landing, the deck.
It's on the rotunda.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is the rotunda on Eagle Landing?
Yeah.
Okay. I was probably, where's the place where the bridge? Right down here?
Below.
Yeah. So that's where I was. But I had the same inclination as you to get up high and try and capture. I wanted to try and capture downtown Fredericksburg, right? But I couldn't. I just couldn't get the angle on it. So, yeah, you capture it. One of the things is you have the blue sky, but you still have this touching the top, right? So it kind of makes it a little bit shorter, not as big a sky. All right. Let's see. Media tourist. This is interesting. Do you guys see what's going on with Media Tourist's picture? I like this. This is kind of, and I love when you guys get experimental and you're like, I don't know what the hell it is, I'll throw it up there. Those are usually ones I like the best. But there's a plane right there. You can just barely see it. I like that. And I like that it kind of breaks the rules of the assignment. You're supposed to kind of capture the ride. And she's like, screw that. Take a picture of the phone ringing in my class. Okay, now, let's go. Oh, this is probably the best picture ever taken. That might be one of the greatest pictures ever taken of Mayor Washington's campus. I don't. Who took that? Anyone know? Anyone check the idea of this guy?
It looks like you.
And me? That absolutely is me. Yeah, I am embarrassed by the state of my photos right now, but I'll stand by them. I don't know. University of Mary Washington. I have a lot of love for this place. Okay, let's see. Let's try and find. Okay, now this is what Martha was talking about. So let's take a look at this. And this is someone that asked when Darcy was here talking to us about the photography. Is this cheating, right? Well, what do you think? Anyone know the effect Martha's using here?
It's an iPhone app,
it seems like it, right?
Is it the one with the high and low exposure?
I think so, and I think it's called the hipster?
Yeah.
The hipster, yeah.
So she's using that, and what do you think? Is she cheating?
I mean, if you did that to your last one that we looked at, it would look a lot cooler, too.
Mine would, right?
Yeah.
So we can establish that the other professor for this class is cheating. I'm putting my neck out there, creatively, and she's getting away with a little hipster cap. It's unforgivable. I hope you write to the provost and let them know. Now, I'm obviously only kidding, but what Martha does capture and captures beautifully is how big the sky is above this building. I mean, I didn't even think to turn the camera around. But look how big that sky is. And I have to say, David's right, I do like the effect. And my picture would have been a lot better, so I'm going out tomorrow getting an iPhone, I'm gonna get the hipster cam app for it, and that's it. I'll never go hungry again. Okay, let's keep going. And I wanna do this regularly, and I want you guys to be on each other's, a face with freckles, okay, good. A face with freckles. And I wonder if we're going to start to see where is, I'm kind of wondering, you know, when I see this. I know a face with freckles is in our online course. Yeah.
It says Omaha Beach, Normandy, France.
Okay. So she went to Normandy, France today. If you're out there, freckle face, did you go to Normandy, France yesterday and not tell us? Is that the kind of convenience of the online course? Okay. It should be a picture you take that day. Nonetheless, I like the way she captures the, at least in the picture she already, how many of you are using pictures you've already taken? Okay, well now you've got them, if you are, no more, right? I'm gonna get these things timestamped. Okay, but if you start seeing this, right, below, I really like how big the sky is, and it's a similar theme as we have with the plane, right? Kind of a nice kind of shot. Plus, I'm privy to the beach. Anything that pictures a beach in it, I'm pretty much sold. Okay. So let's see. Snake Plissken's, great shot. Okay. Badu. This is cool. Now, Barbara, who took this photo, is actually taking this class, and she's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And so it's nice for me, and this is why I really want you guys to explore what other people are doing from this class, and comment, and let them know you're there, and they should be doing the same for you, is here's a skyline of Sao Paulo I've never seen before, right? And obviously, it's pretty gorgeous. This is nothing like we have here. This is not the Fredericksburg skyline. Colleen captured the Fredericksburg skyline. It's a couple of church spires, maybe. Now, this is a skyline. And it's cool to see not only, all right, but what do we learn about Barbara from this picture? What do we know? Or at least think we know. Well, one, that she's in Sao Paulo, she's in Brazil, she lives in the city. Probably because she is in the city, she has more exposure to cultural events than us, right? So that she might wear cooler clothes than us, right? She might see better movies than us. She's in Brazil, which is kind of like the mecca for mashup culture right now. And the stuff they're doing there is amazing. And they're kind of, you know, the minister of culture is telling people to, yeah, mash it up. And no, screw the patents with those kind of drug companies. And no, they're thinking of a new model for their nation. And it's premised on the idea of remixing and remashing culture. So I got to think that's happening in that city, too. While we're sitting here in Fredericksburg. Right? If anything, we're getting at least that much. Right? That's enough. Now, give me, I've been in Fredericksburg for 5 years, longer than probably most of you. So, now, okay, good, let's see. I'm ready to do a salute right now. Right? This is right near my house. I live right across the street from there, so that's cool that you were also. This is on right near the old school that turned into condos.
I think I saw a guy trying to take a license plate off a car as I was taking the picture.
Did you catch a picture of that too?
No, I should have actually, but he was like scoping me out as soon as I brought my camera out.
Now, okay, let's take a second here. This is kind of an interesting teachable moment. I hate teachable moments more than anything in the world. But how many, I mean, I really do. If anyone says teachable moment, isn't that like when you tune them out? It's like, really? Really? Okay. Anyway, how many of you find when you pull out your camera, people immediately kind of approach you differently? Or look at you, especially if you don't know them. Right? I found that when I was walking on College Avenue today. I had my camera out in the backpack, and I always attribute it to I kind of look like I want to be a kid still with my Vans and my stupid tire, but I'm a man. That people are like, well, obviously he's a little weird. But I'm wondering, does everyone have that feeling when you're walking around with a camera? Like, you know? Yeah. You have some power. And that's what Darcy was referring to when he was talking about Susan Sontag's essays on photography. Is that there is a real relation of power in the photo, in the camera, in the capturing of someone else's image, in the representing of it. And you know, this has only gotten tremendously more easy to do and easy to share and to promote online, right? Now anyone could do it, and you don't even know if they're doing it. Talk about the surveillance culture. They can have a little camera that you don't even see on their hat. I mean, everything's so small and micro now. You don't know if anyone's ever recorded it. And it's led to some pretty problematic things, even in the last couple of years. We've had people who were being recorded who didn't know it, and it led to dire, dire consequences, right? But, you know, this is interesting, this idea of Susan Sontag's essay and the violence of that camera, potentially the violence, or at least the position of power with the camera, and our ideas of what you're doing now, and do you feel it yourselves? Now, this is a photo, obviously, of the war memorial. So right, really, it's, I think I live right down there on that street. But yeah, I like not only the sky, but I like the way you capture the flag right in the center of it, right? I mean, it almost looks like it could be a promo image for, you know, World War II, right? Yeah, for, you know, Saving Private Ryan, right? Coming soon, right? You could put it on a movie poster. Right? It'd be interesting for you, it's another assignment I'm just thinking about off the top of my head. Which one of the images you have taken over the course of these 2 weeks could you turn into like a poster? And what would it be a poster of? Right? Be a poster for Saving Private Ryan, would be an inspirational poster. Like, how would you play with the very creations you did, thinking about, okay, what themes did I capture here, and how would I play with that and riff on my own themes, right? And that would be interesting to look back after 2 weeks and experiment with that. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, great. And then that was the alien gun. I saw that. Okay. Wow.
I cheated today.
Ha ha ha. I can catch you.
I couldn't get any good pictures, so I just used two that I already had.
Okay. Look, the habit of creativity is a habit, right? You can't have a habit of smoking if you stop smoking. Right? It just doesn't work, right?
That is the example you want to go with.
Well, it is, because I just quit smoking, and I want to get back in the habit. So, I'm not a smoker, so I no longer have that habit, but I was, and I liked it. If you want to be creating and a photographer, you're not going to be a photographer if you get out of the habit. You know, it's almost making me want to make this semester long. Push it. Okay. All right, what else? All right, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. Now, what's going on over here?
Someone's gotten really intensive with his copyright. He does not want us to use it.
Yeah. And it's 2001. It falls right off. What is it? Okay, listen. And that's something we have to talk about. We haven't talked about yet. We have time? Yeah, we do. We have a couple minutes. All right. So awesome. We're going to do this from time to time. Look, this is fun to do. I expect that you jump on DS106 tag for this class in Flickr and start looking and commenting, just kind of like what we did. There's some great stuff out there. There's a lot of talented people, including you. And you know what? Your pictures are going to be uneven from day to day. Some days you're going to be inspired. Some days you aren't going to be able to find stuff. I understand that. But keep it regular. Keep the comments coming. Let people know you're watching. Let people know you're reading. Let people know you're listening. All right. Now, an issue. One of the games we're going to play, and I'm going to actually show you this quickly before we go, is Alan Levine has been an unbelievable resource in this class, as you already know. He's not only come talk to us, but he's blogging about the stuff you're doing. He's also blogging about tips for the stuff you're doing. I mean, the guy is a veritable force of nature. Now, on top of all that, he's built something for this class, and this can only work if you put your photos as Creative Commons and tag them properly. Creative Commons does not mean you're giving away your license to the photo. What it means simply is that you're allowing other people to use it if they give you attribution. I noticed by default a lot of you went with all rights reserved. You can do all rights reserved on a number of your photos. I don't mind that. I don't want to say you have to open up the rights to your photos. That's up to you. But for your daily shoots, I want them to be Creative Commons. And there's a reason. The reason is we're going to take all the Creative Commons daily shoots that you've done, and we're going to start making stories with your photos. And there's a random story generator that ComDog has programmed that we're going to play with. Does that make sense? So make sure if you haven't, go back, and only for your daily shoots. If you're worried about copyright and stuff like that, if you have a real big problem with Creative Commons, talk to me. Or at least blog about it, because I want to know what your issues are. But otherwise, I want to see those photos opened up so that we can use them in this class. Now, what we're going to do is the Flickr 5 card DS106. Good. All right. Now, Al Levine, I think he just published this today. Yes. No, he published this December 15th. This is when we were actually, I mean, this class, the planning for this class has been happening since late November, which is interesting. It seems, because it's such a train wreck right now, that there was no planning involved. In fact, there was a ton of planning involved, and we planned on it being a train wreck. Anyway, kind of get the joke? No? Okay. All right. So, what you're going to do with this is you're going to be playing, you're going to go to this link, right? And the link is, well, I'll send you the link. I'll put it out on Flickr and I'll send it around. Look for it on Twitter. I'm sorry, not Flickr. And look for it in an email as you get next week's assignments too. Five card Flickr is going to take five random images that you or anyone else in DS106 has taken up until a particular point. And it's going to have those images that you choose. You choose one, and then you choose the next, and then you pick five out of a potential 25. And those images come in this, and then what you do is you have to narrate the story that comes out of it. You have to tell a story with those five random images that you had some control over choosing. So let's go for example. You pick an image, right? I'm going to pick the mousetrap. I pick one, I'm going to pick the Coca-Cola. I pick another one, I'm going to pick the gun and the hat. I pick another one, the Westinghouse. I pick another one, I'm going to pick Ryan. And then, now, I have to title my story. I have to pick my name, right, Jim Groom. Pick your name so we know who you are. And then comments of what the story is. What is the story? Explain the story textually. And then when you've done that, I want you to obviously save it. And there's a little save my story, and you do that, and then you can tweet it. I want you to tweet it out with the hashtag DS106 and also with the hashtag 5Card, 5 with the number 5, card story. Make sense? Hashtag DS106 and another hashtag 5 the number card story. That way we'll be able to kind of filter not only DS106 but the 5Card story. So play with that, and I'll send you an email about this shortly. So that's another thing that wants you to think about what's happening with this daily shoot. Your daily shoot is actually filling another way of storytelling. Your random photos on any given day, and they're all different and they all say something else, can now be brought in to a communal form of storytelling. We're using your images to tell a story. I like that. And this is good, this whole reuse, this whole kind of ecosystem of sharing changes the way we think about the web. And I don't think there are very few on the web who I've seen who are better at sharing the stuff they do than Adam Levine. I mean, he's really a kind of model for that kind of sharing, even to the point where he's designing applications that are built on it, right? And they're built on the Creative Commons license. They're built upon the idea that sharing is important. Okay, so with that, I'll end the class, but before I do, hold on. This is actually, I'll officially end the class for the station. Good night, DS106 radio. You guys have a good night. Nice to have you on board.